Praise the Lord. Just buckle your seatbelt. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Sometimes that's what you got to do. Do you want this, Pastor? Praise God. Well, isn't the Lord good this morning? Amen. That's what we came to magnify Him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name because He's the only one. I don't think there could be a greater compliment to a ministry than for someone to say, I saw Christ in the preaching. I heard a story one time where a man took a statesman from over here in the United States, took him to Europe and for some kind of a business, and they went to church when they were there, and they was taken one morning to somewhere to hear a preacher. I'm not going to mention the names because I may mess one of them up, but he went to hear a man that morning. They're both really known preachers, and he asked the statesman afterwards, what'd you think about that sermon, that service, whatever? And he said, probably the greatest preacher orator I've ever heard. And they went that night to another place and heard another man that was quite known, and he went through the service and the message and so forth. And when they left, he said, well, what'd you think about that? He said, probably the greatest Christ I've ever seen. Amen. I tell you, that's the difference, friend. Men to see, sir, we would see Jesus. I can promise you that is sure the heart and desire of my life, and that's just what we live for. It's our we are evangelists. We travel. We itinerate, you could say, however you want to look at that. We go from church to church. Wherever the door opens, we preach wherever. We've been in a lot of different environments, different places, been in the streets, been in the youth camps, been in churches, been overseas, just wherever the Lord, wherever we can find a crowd. You know what I'm saying? We preach the gospel too. And my family's here with me this weekend. And so wonderful. I have a wife and two children. Caleb, just lift up your hand there if you would, please. Thank you. And that's my little girl Paisley right there. Amen. She's such a blessing to her daddy. And that's my son, my best buddy right here, Peyton. And just thank God for my family, and the Lord has just given me better than I deserved. I can tell you that. I didn't earn any of it, just followed Him. And God's been faithful, and He will be faithful all the way to the end. And we're just excited to have this opportunity to be with you here this weekend. We thank God for your pastor, his wife, such wonderful people of God. And I do see Jesus in them in every way. And just thank God for them opening up their home for us to stay with them and the opportunity to minister. I know that their hearts and desire are for the Lord above everything else and for you to know the Lord in the capacity that God wants you to know Him. And I just thank God for them because a pastor is a gift of God to the church. And I've said this before, but I know that there is probably not a more complicated time in history for pastors to pastor people. There's this access to everything under the sun, and never has been more challenging. Your people are open to hear anything out there, and that may not always be a good thing, you know what I mean? Because then there's all kind of mixed teaching, mixed preaching. We are in the hour of deception. That is what Jesus says, the mark of the end. Many will come in my name saying, I'm Christ. They're going to do everything they can to lead men astray, posing, they're imposters is what it is. And thank God that you have a pastor that is a pastor that preaches the word of God. He lives the message he preaches, and he brings that to you. And I know that, I can tell you, you can trust the Lord with that. And I thank God to have someone that's diligent, the word of God, is concerned, looks at it fully and completely in the Word. And I know that if you have that, you're blessed. Amen. To equip the saints. We need to be equipped in this hour. And I just honor them and thank God for them and for opening up this opportunity, brother. Just greatly appreciate it. And thank you for being here today. And we thank God for you coming this morning. Hope you'd be back here tonight. I know many of you were here last night, and thank the Lord for all that He did here. Amen. So we're just moving in revival already. So just get in with what God's already doing. Amen. I don't got to go travel nowhere. I feel like I've been living in. I know it ain't always been maybe what I could have been or should have been, But I feel pretty much for 23 years I've been living in a revival. God, I was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. I've been contending for this, amen, all the way through. And I pray wherever God is, I'm telling you, there is always could be an increased measure. But when we come together, we are the church. This morning, we can have this. I don't got to go anywhere. Right here, the same God can make himself known and manifested when the Holy Spirit is moving upon little children. I can tell you, you don't manufacture that stuff, folks. God, by his Spirit, is doing that work. That is a move of the Spirit. That is a real move of the Spirit. And I thank God, and it is the design of God to do it. It is more the design of God to do it in a local way, Pastor Aaron, than to do it any other way. God's method, his means, is the local assembly. That is the plan of God for the ages, the church, that he might make known his manifested wisdom through the church. Amen. That is God's design. That is plan. I just say, Lord, just let it be here. Amen. Let it be through us. We're reaching people. God bringing people in. This young lady, give her life, born again of the Spirit of God. Amen. That is the Lord gathering people to himself. That's what it's all about, folks. Amen. That's what it's about. Praise God. Well, with no further ado, I want to just get right into the Word of God here this morning. And turn your Bible to John chapter 4, if you will. I want to look there today, just praying that the Lord would lead and guide every thought. As we do, we come. I tell the sound guys, you know, guys, I can't tell you. We're just going to follow the leadership of the Lord. You never know where we're going to go. Amen. Sometimes you know exactly. Sometimes you just following the cloud. You're following the pillar of fire. You're just seeing where God will lead you. But the Lord just impressed this on my heart. So I believe that he's going to speak to someone's heart here this morning. John chapter number 4. I'm just going to begin to read there in the first verse. And beginning to read there in the first verse. Rather, you can just go ahead and remain seated for now. I usually have to stand to break things up for the reading. But I'm going to read a little bit here. So let's begin in verse number 1. John chapter 4 verse 1 says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said to him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast this thou lived that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said to her, Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said to her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, You've well said, I have no husband. You've had 5 husbands, and whom you now have is not your husband. Is that saidest thou truly? The woman said, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You know, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation's of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship him." Listen, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I that speak to thee am he." And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. And no man said, "What seekest thou, or why talkest with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went away to the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. And the disciple, and I'm going to stop reading right there. Then they came, "Come see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" I want to direct your attention to something here of the response when the woman, when Jesus reveals to her that he is the Christ. What does it say after that? It says immediately she left her water pot and she returned back to the men. I'm just going to preach under this thought this morning. A well or a water pot? A well or a water pot? Will you help me pray right now? Father, we just thank you, Lord, for everything that's been done in this house. Lord, I thank you for the worship. I thank you, Lord, for the testimony. I thank you, Lord, for the leadership of your spirit. And I thank you for the word of God. I pray right now that you would open the ears, God, the spiritual ear of every man, that you would open the spiritual eye. Lord, I ask you to give me the words of life, that it would be spirit and life. Lord, I bind every hindering spirit, everything that would come to rob the seed. I come against in the name of Jesus. I pray for good soil. Let the seed fall on good ground. God, make my tongue the pen of a ready writer. Lord, I pray that you'd confirm your word with signs following, and we will give you all the praise and all the glory for it, because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said amen with me. Amen. A well or a water pot. I want to take you right into one of the most profound Bible experiences that I can share with you today. And I have been drawn so many times to this encounter with Jesus of a woman from Samaria at this well. I'm amazed at how the Lord is able to go and through leaps and bounds and even special pathways of life to reach a singular individual person. I've always been amazed at how God, the Lord, would be willing to go out of his way simply to reach the one, and how that he would, in just however he would have to do it, to find that one person that he knows would receive him if he was able to get to them. We have here in this story this woman of Samaria coming to a well. And this woman of Samaria, you have to know something about this. Let me just give you a little framework of this story here. I don't have time to get into every detail, but just to lay a little foundation, if you're unfamiliar with what is actually transpiring here, you're going to understand that the Jews and the Samaritans did not have dealings with one another. There were prejudices among the two people groups, and it was already an out of the way thing for Jesus to be had made his way there through Samaria. There was a way to take that you didn't have to go through. And as a matter of fact, they made sure that they didn't travel that distance because they wanted to make sure they did not interact with one another. They were looked at, the Samaritans, as kind of a mixed breed. They were kind of looked at as kind of an unclean people. In the sight or the eyes of the Jewish people, they were more of a mixture to them. And so they didn't want to have no dealings with them. They thought they were better than them. They thought that they couldn't fellowship with one another, or you know what I'm saying. And so here that Jesus is now taking a special pathway to Samaria to reach this one particular woman. And the scripture said that he had a need to go there. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. It is only through the divine wisdom of God, Jesus, who did only what he saw the Father do, spoke only what he heard the Father say, and now he's taken the direction of his Father, and it would lead him through Samaria. He got there to the parcel of ground at the well that Jacob had given to his son Joseph, and there at that well was a life-changing encounter that this woman would never be the same again. She would meet the one that her soul and her heart had always longed for, although she was blinded to the reality of that. And here you have this woman from Samaria coming to the well at the uncommon hour to draw water. You see, there was a common hour for women to come and draw, and they did it on a daily basis. But this woman came at an hour that was uncommon. She didn't come in the time when town was packed out. She didn't go to the store when everybody else was there. She waited to do her duty. She waited to do her shopping when everybody else was at work, or everybody else was at home, or everybody else had already come to do their business. And here she comes encountering Jesus, and he opens this conversation with the question, give me something to drink. It takes this woman by surprise. She's looking, thinking, this man's a Jew. Why is he even talking to me? And he is asking her for a drink of water. You can tell by her response. It says, she said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me to drink? I'm the woman of Samaria, and Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And then Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to you, give me to drink, you would be asking him, and he would have given you living water. So what I want to say to you is this. Here is a woman sitting at a well with the Messiah, with the Son of God, but she could not even recognize who he was in this initial encounter. She just saw him as a Jewish man. She had no idea who she was talking to. And the reason why she didn't, because she had the inability to see who it was. You see, this is the perpetual condition of man. Man is in darkness. He cannot see. The malady of our existence, and even the malady of our day spiritually, or even in Christianity, is the inability to see. Spiritual blindness, the inability to have eyes that see and recognize spiritual things. And sight spiritually is always a growing thing. The world is in darkness. You see, in the beginning, when God created man, if I could take you all the way back into eternity's past, into realms that I could never comprehend or reach to in this particular condition, you would find that we know what we know about God is that God had no beginning and he has no ending. He is eternal. It's impossible for us to wrap our mind around such a God. It's too infinite. It's too vast. It's too great. It's impossible for the human mind to comprehend the vast greatness of a God that could frame the entireties of the worlds and the universe, create the complexity of the human anatomy, and create such existence as he has created. But in eternity past, God the Father had in mind a kingdom which he gave to his Son. The Bible tells us that Jesus was made the heir of all things. So the Father makes his Son the heir of all the kingdom in which he has created for himself.
That kingdom was given to his son. We know by the word of God he is the heir of it all. And then God, in order to, he framed the man and created man to be a joint heir with his son. You can read about this in the book of Hebrews. You can find, I'm not going to reference every verse. I'm just telling you a story here of the word of God. And God made man to be a joint heir with his son. This was the purpose of man. Man to have fellowship. Man to be joint heirs. Man to rule alongside his son was the design of God. But you find that in that original condition and beginning works of that in the garden, you can read in the book of Genesis, and you find out no more than this plan began to be set in motion with the creation of the first man. You find someone else entering the scene, a usurper, a trespasser, come in the form of a serpent, and he deceived the man to get him to rebel against God. The usurper caused man to disobey God in the original state, and when he did that, man became a creation and a creature that God could not allow to live eternally. You have a tree of life and you have a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't take of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He leaves man with his decision to make his own choices. But the serpent deceived the woman, and the woman caused the man to sin with his eyes wide open. He wasn't deceived. He rebelled against what God said. The woman was deceived. The man sinned willfully. And when he done that, his spirit died. It sank into subjection to his soul. And he became a soulless creature. One that God could not allow to live eternally in that state. And so in effort to keep man from partaking of that eternal tree of life in that condition, he put man on the outside of the garden and said, your kind can never come back in this condition, back into fellowship that we had. You become something different, Adam. And he said, an angel with the flaming sword to guard the garden there, to keep man out. Man fell into spiritual blindness. He became blind. He became a tiller of the ground. He became a worker of the ground. He became a wanderer, wandering through darkness, wondering why, what is the meaning of my existence? What is the reason for why I'm here? What is the reason of all this pain? What is the reason of all this torment? What is the reason? What's the meaning? What's the purpose? Why all of this? Men are in darkness. This is the perpetual condition of the world that is around us. Man has no answers. Man has no remedy. Man has no ability to do anything about his problems. And it's always been, friend. I said it's always been. Man cannot solve his own problems. Man, no matter how intelligent he gets, no matter how many plans he devises, he can do nothing with his condition. His condition's broken. His condition is emptiness. His condition is misery, because his condition is separation from God. And man's always looking. That's why it doesn't matter how much money you make. That doesn't matter how many friends you get. That don't matter. That matter doesn't matter how many, how much alcohol you drink, how much drugs you do, how many successes you have. No matter what you obtain, no matter how many plans you devise, man can't heal himself. No matter how profound the medical community gets, no matter how many discoveries are made, man is under a curse. Man is under the curse of death, and no matter how much fruit and fiber he eats, he's gonna die someday. It's the condition of man. Sickness and poverty and disease and trouble, separation and bondage and war and strife and division and always con, all the chaos and all the stuff that continues to go. It's man in darkness. It's what's always been. It was the conditions Isaiah prophesied in. Men are in darkness, but what did he say? Light has come. Oh, thank God. That's why the Christmas story is so wonderful. It's the coming hope of of God's saving power. What do you say, Brother Jeremy? What's the remedy for man? Here's only one remedy for man. It's not another boyfriend. It's not more money. It's not a better job. It's not finding the right thing in this life. It's not walking in total healing in your natural body. The answer to man's darkness is not the world coming together. Heal the world. Make it a better place. You can bring all the celebrities together like they tried to in the 80s. You can sing the songs that move your emotions. You can say, let's come together. Let's feed the world that's impoverished. But man can't solve his problems. He can't. Man can't solve his problems. He has no answers. No matter how smart he gets, he'll do nothing to fix the brokenness, the division, the strife, the envy, the jealousy, the anger, the hatred, the bitterness, the abuse of life. And men are wondering, so many people, maybe you're here this morning thinking, what's the meaning of my existence? Why am I even here? Why was I abused when I was a child? Why have I been mistreated? Why have I been treated this way? Why is life so broken? Why is there so much pain? Why is there so much difficulty? Why is there so many problems and perplexities in this world that you and I live in? Because the world, my friend, is under a curse. Because we live in a world that man had become something God did not intend for him to be. And this death has passed on us. The death that came to Adam is the sentence that was passed to all of us. The scripture says in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, and so that death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You see, we're all in that condition. We're all guilty before God. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who your family is. We're trespassers. Are you hearing me? We failed God. Why? Because we've lived out of nature we were born with. You couldn't help it. You were born. You were shapen. You were formed. You were made. The sentence of death you were born with. And so when you began to grow in life, what you begin to do? You begin to live out of the nature that you were born with. You started sinning. Your parents didn't have to teach you how to be selfish. They had to teach you how to share. You know why? Because you can see, oh, I'm telling you, in the most beauty of that, those little children. Oh, how, look at this little child right here. Oh, I'm telling you how precious and wonderful this little girl is. But guess what? That no matter what, shit's little girl, we're going to have to teach her how to share. Amen. You're not going, this mama not going to have to teach her how to, you know, to be selfish. Oh, here, you need to be selfish, little girl. Oh, no matter how beautiful and wonderful she is. Oh, I'm telling you, I know my little girl. I'm telling you, oh, get, I mean, how cute. I'm telling you how beautiful she is to her daddy. But oh, I've seen that old nature she's born with. I mean, she can't help it. It just comes out of her. You know what I'm saying? Why? It's what she is. It's what we are. We've all are living out of the nature that we were born. Why? Because man became something in that fall, and it's been passed to us. The Bible says the sentence of that disobedience is death. That's why we're going to die. Because of that, it's given to us. We begin to live out of that nature, and we can't do anything about it. It's what we are. It's just who we are. We're in darkness. We live out of a sinful man. Friend, this is why Jesus came. Are you hearing me? This is why he came. This is what the cross was all about. God the Father, he knew this would be. So in that eternity past, he already planned it out. There was an agreement. Christ died before the foundation of the world. He didn't come and devise that plan after man failed. That plan was devised before man failed. God is not coming and cleaning up the devil's mess. It was planned from the beginning. And this is what the cross is all about. This is why Jesus came, sinless, spotless. The only man God will ever be pleased with is his son. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him, see him. It's not Elijah or Moses. It's God's only son. And now the Lord, through the cross, through the death of the sinless sacrifice of Jesus and the shedding of his own blood has gone through that cross and the resurrection of his son, now redeeming the world. And the Bible says we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. What is that? It's God reconciling man from his fallen condition. But the only way he can be reconciled, the only way he can eat the tree of life and live eternally with God, is he has to come back through God's remedy, and that is his son. It's why he died, my friend. This is the gospel. Jesus came to save sinners, to reconcile the world. There's two kinds of people in the world: those that are in Christ and those that are outside of Christ. Everything that's in Christ will live forever. Everything that's outside of Christ will go to hell. There is no in between. We're either in Christ today or we're outside of him, and based on that decision, our eternity is sealed. Jesus, why did he come? To reconcile man back to God. Friend, that's the gospel. Man in his emptiness and his blindness, looking for a cure, thinking he's good in himself, devising his own plans, devising his own methods, trying to make himself good, trying to find his own way. Men in darkness. Why are you asking me for a drink? Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. If you knew. I remember when I got saved. I remember when I was born again. I knew in that moment. I said, God, everybody has to have this. Everybody has to have this. This is the most wonderful thing in life. I woke up. The sun had never been so bright. The clouds had never been so white, and the sky had never been so blue. Wonderful joy and peace. I knew the reason why I existed. This is the effect of the born again experience. I didn't know, because for so long I was in darkness. The Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever. Men blind. The only reason why this church is not filled this morning is because men cannot see. I said, Lord, I said, this is the most wonderful thing I've ever discovered in all of my life. And I said, Lord, if people knew this, I said, why aren't our churches filled? Why aren't people excited on Sunday morning to get to the house of God? Why are not more serving the Lord? And the Lord began to speak to my heart, and he said, because they don't know. It can be the only reason. It's the only explanation. There is no other explanation why men do not want this. Why? Because it is God's salvation. It is God's son. It is God's eternal life. It is God totally and completely. It is man coming back to the reason of his purpose. But men are blind. They're deceived by the devil. They're in drunkenness and alcohol and fornication and adultery and pride and in bitterness and in anger and all of this. Why? Because they're blind. This world has nothing but counterfeits. The devil has nothing but counterfeits. Oh, I just want to live it up for a while. You're not living nothing. You don't live until you're in Jesus. You might think you're living, but you're not living. The devil will deceive men. He'll present something to look so wonderful, just like he did Eve in the garden. She saw that tree. It wasn't looking like demon worship. It looked like something to be desired, something to make one wise. It was a good tree. It looked like a wonderful thing. Why would God hold such wonderful things back from me? Why would God keep me? Because he knew that the end of that was death. God said, don't touch it. You'd think she'd have been 1,000 miles away from it, but she lingered around close enough for the enemy to get him there and say, hey, look how good that looks. Look how wonderful that would be for you to experience such a wonderful thing. And before you know it, she's moved through deception to partaking of it. But listen, friend, that was the worst mistake that she'd ever made. This is the way of sin. It presents itself to be something, but behind all of it is a death and darkness and emptiness that is too much of a price for you to pay. Men are in darkness. And I said, Lord, this is the most wonderful thing. How could this be that people do not want this? But you know, the blinders are so strong over the eyes of men, because Jesus said, if you knew, this conversation would be different. I'm here to tell you what, church, we need to pray that God would use us in this hour to open the minds of and eyes of men. It's what Jesus came to do, to open the eyes of the blind, not just the natural eye, but the spiritual eye, the recovery of sight to the blind. Men are in darkness. Why does the devil keep them there? He keeps them there lest one should allow the light of the gospel to shine upon them, and then all of a sudden that veil be torn away. The Bible says when one turns to the Lord, when he turns to it, when he turns to Jesus, then that veil that man lives under is torn away. My eyes can see. God is real. This is why I was born. This is the reason of my existence, to serve and know and walk in fellowship and worship a holy God. Hallelujah. If your eyes been opened, give him some praise in this house. If you only knew. But she didn't know. The conversations would be different. If you knew, you'd ask me. The day the well sat on a well. Come on, somebody. The well was sitting on a well, talking to a blind woman who tried everything. Tried men, tried stuff. 5 times failed relationships, nothing worked. There she was, blind. Just another day coming to the well in darkness, in failure, in disappointment, in discouragement. No trust in religion. Oh, there's the, our fathers told us we're to worship in this mountain. No trust in religion, no trust in men. Just walking around the road of failure and discouragement, emptiness and blindness. One little water pot she's carrying to that well every day, coming when no one else could see her, probably shamed by her mistakes of her past, probably disappointed in the failure of those that the way that people had treated her. And such is the testimony of so many people today. Such is the testimony of many, probably maybe even some of you that are in here even this morning, that can find yourself with the same testimony of this woman here, that you could see her inability to actually receive the grace of God in the initial stages because she had been so disappointed and failed by others around her. You know, we live in such a time of mistrust and deceit, and people, you know, even from the places in life where you used to could trust people, even the fallen people, you could trust people in certain positions. You could trust people that were behind pulpits. You could trust people that were on the boards of education. You could trust people that govern the nation in some degree. Even in that fallen state, there was degrees and elements of morality and trust, even in the fallen world. But now, those places that we used to think we could depend on and trust in, we thought we could trust our parents, we thought we could trust our authorities, but been abused so many times by those that should be places of trust. And it has left people so much bound in this emptiness, and now they're unable to come and really receive freely of the life and grace of God because they're bound up in a condition of the mistrust of other people. There's very little in our world. There's very little. There's nothing but shortcoming, failure, letdown, and disappointment. And here this woman comes. Her spiritual fathers had put religion up upon a mountain instead of actually putting it on. It was an outward thing. It was an outward experience for her. Religion, yes, she had that. She was able to talk to Jesus and share with her Well, our fathers worship in this mountain. This is what how we do church. This is how that we. This is how my grandparents taught me. This is how my parents taught me that we worship God. We go to this mountain up here because this is the sacred place where men worship God. But was religion and worship that was in an outward way. It was an outward experience. It wasn't an inward thing. It was still something in darkness. You might have religion. You might agree to certain statements of doctrine. You may go to a place weekly on a weekly basis and say you're there to worship God. But I'm talking to people this morning. Some of you are just something that you do in an outward way. It's an outward experience. It's not something that's on the inside of you. You might go and clock in. You may call yourself a religious person, even a Christian. You may say, well, I'm just doing what my fathers have taught me to do. They say this is the way that we worship. We go here and we do it this way, or we do it that way, or we do it the other way. And now that you may have a place that you go for worship and religion, but it's something simply in an outward way. It's not an inward experience. It's still in blindness. It's still in darkness. Friend, the churches are filled with people who are worshiping God in an outward way, but their hearts are far from Him. They may fall down looking like they're giving their whole heart, but it's really not something in an inward way. Why? Because it's something that's only experienced from time to time. It's only something that is not a full-time experience. And the reason why is because it's not something inward. It's not an everyday life. It's an every once in a while life. But God wants to give us an everyday experience with His Spirit living on the inside of us. That's what the well represented. The well represented everyday living. That's what the Lord was trying to get her to see, is what she had only outwardly. He wanted to put in an inward way. It's not in the religion of your fathers. It's not in five failed. It's not in men. It's not in anything else. You might think, when I find this or find that, then I'll be full. But you're not going to be. You're going to leave discouraged. You're going to continue to travel down the road of discouragement. This woman, when she came to the well, she carried a little water pot with her. And I believe this little water pot speaks a lot about the testimony of her inward life, because it was something small. It was something little. She came and filled it up with the water at the well, but it was not long and it was poured out, only to have the refilled again. It was simply just one dose after another, small doses of something to try to maintain life. That's some of you this morning. You're just getting small doses here and there, whether it's in religion or whether it's in something of this world. You just take little small doses of it. Get a little high here. Someone likes my post enough today and I filled up my water pot because my selfie got enough shares and likes on it. Or you go to this person and they validate you in some way, or you get a high, or you get an experience, and it's just a little small dose. You put it in your little water pot, but then you carry it and it's not long till you've drank everything that was on the inside of it. You get little small glimpses of getting free, but you never really get free. You just continue to tread down a path of failure, discouragement, deceit, mistrust, and suspicion. And your whole life is little small doses of something that never really satisfy. But friend, that's what Jesus came to reveal to this woman. He came to show her, it's not little doses I want to give you. It's not a little well seeking from men, seeking from things, seeking from religion. I want to take this and put it on the inside of you. I know your father said that the mountain is the place to worship, but it's not a mountain, friend. I said it's not a mountain. It's a person. It's not a place. It's a face. It's a man. His name is Jesus. And he said, I want to give you a living well. Give him praise in this house this morning. I want to take what's on the outside and put it in you. I want to put this in you. I don't want it to be just something known in an outward way. This well is a well that God wants to put on the inside of us. This salvation of God, this well of God, this Holy Spirit of God is something that He wants to put on the inside of us today. He doesn't want it to be put on a mountain. You know, I tell you, a Spirit-filled church is some of the worst when it comes to putting things on mountains. You say, Brother Jeremy, I may not know much about that. Well, some of you may. And here's what I've learned, because it's been the way of our life and experience, is men making things a mountain, an experience. It's all about the experience. That's why they travel from one camp meeting to the next, one event to the next, one this to the next. I'm not saying none of those things are wrong, but God is not wanting you to just travel from one event to the next waiting on your breakthrough. I know people that only get breakthroughs one time a year. They fall out and they get touched, and praise God, they're revived. They get excited about the Lord. They get bold for a day or two, but that's not the way. It's not in an experience. We've made it an experience. We've made it in an emotional high. Your emotions will get high. Come on. It will be experiences. But this is to be daily living. I don't got to travel to Asbury. I don't got to travel nowhere. I can open up my closet daily. I can find me a place to pray. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. He comes to me. He ministers to me. He touches me. He feels me and he makes himself known, and God wants us to live daily in that experience. A well in you. I don't want it to be out of you. I want it to be in you. This is God's promise for your life. He wants this to be in you, saints. Are you hearing me? Brother Jeremy, I don't see. I don't understand. If you knew, you'd be asking him for it. If you knew how wonderful this salvation was, if you knew how the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing was, I wouldn't have to convince you of nothing. I wouldn't have to prove nothing. I could just say, there's a well that Jesus said. He stood up on that day of the feast, on that great day, and he said, hey, anybody that's thirsty, come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, which had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified, but he has been glorified today. And because he's glorified, the evidence of his glorification is the fact he fills men to the overflow. Are you hearing me this morning? It's not a place. It's not an experience. It's more than that. It's God coming and living in your spiritual man till it overflows. Hallelujah. And if you knew, all I'd have to do is say, this is for you. Won't you come? Come into this altar and move toward God and say, Lord, I want this well. If you only knew, you be asking me. And what else did he say? And I would have given. Hallelujah. I can't help but to think of the scores of people that are in hell right now. They're in hell right now. And if they would have asked, he would have given. If you only knew, you'd be asking me. Friend, I'm going to tell you what. Don't go to hell today and don't live in poverty the rest of your life when all you had to do was ask and he would have given. Amen. Brother Chris, would you prepare to come here? I want to tell you this morning that the Lord has more for you than the said experience of your life. God has a well for your life today. And this woman, as she began to twist and move and turn the conversation back into a religious way because Jesus challenged her on something in her life, she said, Lord, I want this well. I mean, who wouldn't want it? I mean, I don't got to come here to draw every day. You got something like that? Yeah, I do. I want that. Jesus said to her, call your husband. Oh, I don't have a husband. What are you talking about? You must be a prophet. How do you know? How would you know? You've had five husbands. How'd you know that? See, something's going to have to be done in her. She can't live with a man that ain't her husband if she's going to drink this water. Come on, I've seen a lot of water given out. We got a gospel message that gives out water that don't call you to call your husband. Oh, what does that do? That just adds Jesus to your old nature. Listen, what God wants to do today is give you a new life. And the only way, God doesn't want to improve on your old life. There's only one way into this experience, death and resurrection. You die. If any man comes to me, let him take up his cross. You know what he's saying? Deny yourself. You can't deny yourself. You can't have my life. You don't add Jesus to what you are. He doesn't come and make the old life better and give the old life a different desire. What I'm saying is you don't just one day say, you know what, that sounds good. I think I'm going to start desiring the Lord today. I'm going to start reading my Bible today. I'm going to start serving God today. You can't just change your interests all of a sudden in your own self. Well, I'm just going to change my interest to religion. There's a lot of people that do that. A lot of people change their interest to religious things that are never converted. God's not looking to make your old life better. He's looking to kill that old life and give you a new life. That's what, lest a man is born again, he cannot see. That's what Jesus said in the third chapter of John to another blind man. A man versed in religion, a man with more knowledge religiously, taught in the law, taught in the prophets, all of that. And the first thing Jesus said to him was this. He said, unless a man's born again, he can't see. He heard the reading of the prophets weekly on every Sabbath. All of them did. It says in Acts 13:27, I believe, that every Sabbath, the law, the prophets were read, but they didn't hear them. They didn't hear it. They listened to it, but they couldn't hear it. Because everything they heard weekly was pointing to this one they couldn't see was him. Why? It was hidden. They were blind. Unless a man's born again, he cannot see. They could not see that everything they studied their whole life was pointing to this very one they looked at. Why? They were blind. This is him. This is who the prophet spoke of. They read it every week, but they didn't hear. Men are blind. Unless a man's born again, he cannot see. This is the missing element of the modern church. It's an effort. We've put groves in front of the altars. We've made everybody attracted to the church, to everything else but Jesus. We put everything outside. We change the name of our churches to make it more modern. We change. We're going to make it something weird. So it don't look nothing like Christianity. We're going to put our groves outside. We're going to put our groves in the foyer. We're going to put our groves on the platform to hide the bloody sacrifice. But God said, I'll have no groves at my altar. He said, there's only one attraction. You see that cross right there? There ain't a man on that cross anymore. You know why? He went to that cross. He died on that cross. He shed his blood. It was the most gruesome death a human could die. But he didn't stay there, friend. He went into the grave. But guess what? In 3 days, he rose up again. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you this morning, but there's only one attraction to this church, and if that attraction ain't Jesus, you'd be better to stay home. It's not about your life getting better. It's about your life dying and his life coming in. Hallelujah. He cannot see. And all we're doing in this modern message that is propagated in our world is trying to make an old man better. And you can. Oh, please come be attracted to our Jesus. We'll make it so cool for you. This is going to be the coolest place in town. We'll make it so cool and so relevant as, so that you can come for some reason, and hopefully somewhere in the midst of all our groves, you'll find the bloody sacrifice of our Savior. God said, there's no comeliness that you should desire him. Friend, I'm not, God doesn't discount this gospel, and we better not discount it. You come on his terms or you don't come. Come or don't come, but we we ain't putting it on sale. It cost him everything. I said it cost him everything. I ain't putting it on sale. Only one way you're going to know the splendor of this, you got to come inside. And the only way to come inside is through death. Except a man's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Neither can he enter it. You got to be born. Born again, born from above. That's the way back in. Man's wandering in his darkness. How does he get back in? Born from above. A new nature. A heavenly nature. A nature created in righteousness and true holiness. A nature that loves God. A nature that wants to pray. A new vocation. A new calling. It's not changing interests. It's God's divine life coming in. And all of a sudden, I now know the reason I was born. Hallelujah. Folks, I've lived this. I remember one day staring at myself in the mirror, and I was just looking. It was the strangest moment. I thought, who are you? What kind of person are you? This isn't who you were designed to be. Just all these thoughts going on in my mind. And then I was born again. And I knew in that moment, Aaron, the reason why I was born. I was born to serve the Lord. And so were you. Come on, stand with me this morning. Go call your husband. Okay, I'll call who I gotta call. I'll do. I don't care what I gotta do. I want you. I that speak to you am he. What was the immediate response of the woman? The immediate response of the woman, she left her water pot. You know why she left it? She didn't need it no more. Listen, when you've got a well, come on. When a well's in you, you don't need a water pot. I left a lot of water pots, Brother Aaron. I had a lot of water pots. But you know what? When I got the well, I left the water pot. That's how you know somebody really got it. Come on now. I said, I know they really got it. Oh, yeah, they may have said the prayer. They may have been dunked in the water too. But the way I know they really got it is they left the water pot. Ain't no need from it no more. There's no need for the water pots of men. There's no need of the water pots of religion. There's no need of the water pots of life. When you find this well, when your eyes are open, I that speak to you am he. When her eyes were open, she said, my God, this is the Christ I've been searching for. This is what I've been missing. This well's on the inside of me. She left her old life there and she ran back to the hometown and said, what? Come and see a man that told me everything I ever did. I was reading that one day and I said, Lord, you got to help me here. I said, this lady had a history and a past. I mean, she's so ashamed to face people. She's coming to draw water. I mean, her guilt, her shame, her sin had left her ashamed to show up in public. But I said, Lord, how in the world did she have the boldness with all her history to go back to the people and the men that knew everything she'd ever done and go back and say, hey, come and see a man? And God began to speak to him. The Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and he said, because I knew everything she did, but I still offered her the rivers of living water. The well could still be yours if you're willing to leave your water pot, if you're willing to deal with the things that will keep you from God. This well is available, and now a boldness can come. Like Paige has said to us, she was able to go back to the friends. Why? Because all the guilt of her past and all the shame of her past has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Come see a man. Come on, lift your hands right now. Oh, hallelujah. Come see a man that told him, is this not the Christ? Oh, my. I said, is this not the Christ? Friend, I'm telling you this morning, come and see a man. Oh, a man named Jesus. Oh, he's a wonder today. I said, he's a wonder. He's like nothing you've ever known. He's like nothing. Wandering the pathways of failure and discouragement. But God is calling you today to get this well in you. Why don't you come today? Why don't you meet me down in the front of this church and say, Brother Jeremy, I'm ready to trade in my water pot. Oh my, I'm ready to trade in my water pot. I'm ready to stop making religion an experience. I'm tired of it just being on a mountain. I'm tired of just being trying to live on an emotional high. I'm tired of trying to do it within myself. I'm tired of being outward. I want the life you speak of today. I want it to be daily. I want it to be every day. I want it to be every moment. Come on, this is available, church. I said, this is available to you. Oh, you need the grace of God this morning. Your heart, you don't trust. You're having a hard time trusting because so many men and lives have failed you. But I come to tell you, don't be strengthened in that failure. Let the grace of God, all sufficiency, all grace, all power can be yours this morning if you will come to them. Grace abounding, grace multiplied. Hallelujah. There can be a fullness in your life. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's worship him. Would you come today? Would you come? Would you trade your water pot for the well? Just say, Lord, Lord, you are the Christ. I want this water that I shall never thirst. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's worship him in this house. God wants to fill you up to overflow. I said, God wants to fill you up, but you've got to respond. I said, you've got to respond. Hallelujah. Come, see a man. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, drink till it overflows, church. I said, drink till it overflows. Drink till it overflows. It's not a place. It's a person. I said, it's a person that wants to live inside of you today. Worship. We're going to spend some time worshiping God, praying. Come on, we're going to trade our water pots today. Why don't you find a place to get along with God? Why don't you set your heart toward the Lord? Set your affections toward him and say, Lord, give me this life. Have you ever been born again, friend? I want to ask you, has this really become on the inside of you, or is this something that's only been outward for your life? Then you got to be born again. Come on, I said, you got to be born again. If it's only on the outside, you need to make it on the inside. And you can only come in God's way. Come on, faith in the work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's lift him up right now so all men can be drawn. Come on, all around this house, let's follow the Lord this morning. I said, let's just follow the Lord. Let's follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Let's just drink of the well that never runs dry. Oh,